ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
That was a little broadcast news, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
We just barely got on the air 2 seconds ago.
Yes, well, yeah, uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had to. I've turned into a Schneider from One Day at a Time when things go wrong here on the New York end of Stephanie Miller Incorporated.
You just get out of the way?
Yeah, no, it was the, I fixed it. It's the numbers on the Zephyr unit were,
whatever.
Incorrect. I'd get out my toolbox, do a little reprogramming. All right, it's... StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. And guess what?
What?
Everything there encased in carbonite.
Well, yes.
I get more thank you mail. Thank you for being right about everything, Steph. Thank you for being right about Joe Sestak. Thank you for being right about carbonite. Do what I do. Protect your irreplaceable computer files with Carbonite Online Backup. Don't wait. Start backing up your computer with Carbonite today. Go to Carbonite.com. Use the offer code Stephanie for my special offer. That's a 15-day free trial plus 2 months free with any subscription. Carbonite.com. Offer code Stephanie. You'll be glad you did.
And you know what else is at the Stephanie Miller website?
What?
The link to your brand new Facebook page. I know, right?
I've seen it. Oh, my God. It's so great.
Isn't it cool? You can actually comment on the videos and...
Oh, my God.
I know.
And you even got up I did an Ed show at the last minute last night.
Yeah, actually, thank God Shana was there. He had his broadcast equipment there, and I said, hey, can you help me? She's on in 20 minutes. Yeah, I'm there, so...
Here's a fun fact about last night's appearance.
What?
I was wearing my brand new New York thrift store jacket that cost $10. Didn't it look fabulous? All right. All right. Here's something else I learned about New York this morning, Chris.
What?
Do not tell the cab driver he went the wrong way. Because you know how he reacted, his first reaction? Maybe you want to get a different cab. I was like, yeah, it's okay.
All right.
I was like, yeah, you just don't even want to start with them. I'm like, you should have gone through the park. It's going to take forever. I've turned into a New Yorker now. What are you doing?
That's when you report him to the taxi commission.
He's like, yeah, ma'am, where'd I pick you up? It was closed. Both of them are closed over there. What? And I was like, all right, you know what? Never mind. I shouldn't have started this.
Yeah, I think he has the power in that situation.
Now we're going by way of Bangladesh. Good luck. All right, so a big, big show. We have the wildly popular feature, Face the Grayson, where you can ask Congressman Alan Grayson your questions. That'll be at the top of next hour. We also have Jonathan Alter in his fabulous new book, The Promise, about the president's first year.
That's right.
And right now, thank God we were able to reschedule Joe Rome, because as you recall from the Center for American Progress on the oil spill, because as you recall, last time I did the whole interview as if I thought it was Jim Rome, and he did the whole interview as if he thought I was Dennis Miller. So it was really kind of a...
disjointed.
Oh, it was...
Yeah.
You thought this morning is a cluster. Whoo! All right. Joe Rome from the Center for American Progress. Good morning, sir.
Howdy.
Where to make you feel comfortable, babe, Chachi. Now... go ahead, Joe.
Great to be here.
So nice to have you back. Now, Joe, this is a, you know, we talked about the oil spill when it started, but, I mean, it just seems like, can this really get worse? And, of course, the answer is yes. So they're saying now the latest glimpse of video footage of the oil spill indicates around 95,000 barrels or 4 million gallons a day of crude may be spewing from the leaking wellhead, 19 times the previous estimate, is what an engineering professor told Congress yesterday, correct?
Yeah, the British Petroleum has been trying to conceal for weeks now the full rate of spill. Scientists, I think, have puzzled this out. It's very hard to tell exactly, but it's clearly a massive spill. We're talking about, around 2 Exxon Valdezes every week, maybe more.
Wow.
Oh, God.
Wow. I mean, so, but here's, obviously, as you know, Senator Boxer and others put forward this, the criminal inquiry into BP, and this is exactly what we're getting into already, isn't it? What did they know, and when did they know it? And as you said, did they actively try to cover this up?
Yeah, and I think if people saw the 60 Minutes that was
right.
the real stunner.
Right.
I think there's no question BP has been cost-cutting and corner-cutting and, you know, that's sort of the underlying cause, and I think they've been deluding themselves that no accident could happen. This is kind of like the Titanic. It was, you know, unsinkable, and so they didn't prepare for it, and they got lax about safety. And
right.
now their CEO, you know, is just going around saying, you know, you know, the impact will be very, very modest. And, you know, Americans are, you know, they love lawsuits, so I don't know if I'm going to cover every lawsuit. I just think that the only thing they understand is money, and we need to, you know, the Republicans have been blocking efforts to increase the liability cap, and it's just, you know, Congress has to act and make clear to the oil companies that they are going to face significant consequences for their negligence,
right.
or else they're going to keep doing it.
Well, then, Joe, you bring up the 60 Minutes piece, and it, to me, it was like, you know, the Massey, you know, the mining disaster redux. You were like, oh, my God, they were trying to cut corners to get the, you know, in this case, the oil out faster. Same way Massey is like, run coal. That's all you need to worry about is run coal. Get it out. I mean, and it's, and I think that, you know, I've been bringing this, but I think that it is interesting. There's been very little focus on these 11 guys killed.
Yeah, I know, and you never hear BP talk about it, and it's the callous disregard for human life is sort of number one, and, you know, the total disregard for the environment and human health. I mean, the consequences of this spill in terms of putting toxics, I mean, oil is toxic and these dispersants are toxic, and, you know, there's just a marine biologist who said we're going to be testing fish from the Gulf that go to American public for decades as a result of this spill.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my
yep.
God.
That's the thing is I think that the environmental disaster is so huge that that maybe that's part of why, you know, the original accident and the death of the workers didn't even, you know, got buried in this kind of, you know, it almost, I mean, we were saying it's like a disaster movie. It's some sort of, you know, Godzilla meets Armageddon. I mean, it just... And this latest news today, you think, how bad is this going to get? I mean, 19 times, that's not a small mistake, is it?
No, and I think BP knew all along. They've been very clever about this. You know, the dispersants, they don't get rid of the oil. All they do is help make sure it doesn't collect at the surface so that everybody can see it. So it's been very hard for people to sort of do the normal way of calculating how much oil there is by just looking at the surface. So, you know, but, you know, there are a lot of lawsuits, and the families of the workers who were killed are suing. The fishermen are suing. So I expect that, you know, this may play out over months and ultimately years as we, you know, see memos and people testify and we learn just how much culpability there is by British Petroleum. And, you know, let's not forget Transocean, which is headquartered in Switzerland to avoid paying U.S. taxes and put a Marshall Islands flag on this rig so they wouldn't have to follow all of our regulations. And then there's Halliburton, you know, formerly run by Dick Cheney, and the people most responsible for the final cementing process that ultimately went wrong.
Right. Yeah. Well, I mean, it is interesting, isn't it? All of these sort of, you know, political issues before Congress. I mean, ironic, right? They just, you know, stopped financial reform again yesterday. And I think it was Mitch McConnell said something to the effect of, well, the Democrats are trying to use this financial crisis to, you know, it's like, oh, well, they're using the oil spill to imply in some way there needs to be more regulation of the oil industry. You know, I mean, it's like, yes, there is cause and effect. You know, the financial crisis happened because, you know, clearly there wasn't enough regulation. And that's what I mean, whether it's, you know, the mining disaster or this one, I mean, it's just the case could not be clearer, couldn't it, for better oversight and better regulation?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the oil industry, particularly under Bush and Cheney, you know, insisted on this voluntary self-regulation, trust us approach. It's up to the American Petroleum Institute to set the standards for the blowout preventers, and the companies themselves self-certify. So that simply has to come to an end. And yes, I know, for conservatives, whenever you regulate big business, that's like a government takeover.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just...
Well,
just
and the the science on the right is always entertaining, isn't it? You've probably heard Rush Limbaugh say there's oil naturally in the ocean cleans itself. What was the latest one, Chris? Oh, that the Sierra Club should pay for this because
right.
It's because of environmentalists that they're forced to drill out that far.
No, Rush, you know, obviously he's on another planet.
Yeah.
But
he is another planet, but that's a fat joke, and you shouldn't go there with me.
The CEO of British Petroleum himself, Tony Hayward, I've taken to call him Tony Soprano Hayward, he said...
Bada bing, we found some more friggin' oil.
This isn't a big deal because the ocean is such a big place, and this is such a small amount of oil compared to all
comparatively,
the water
sure.
in the ocean. And he said it. He said it on tape. I mean, it's unbelievable how, you know, the hubris. These guys are like
right.
Goldman Sachs.
Like we're making salad dressing. Oh, you know, who can really say what the percentage of oil to vinegar should be?
I know. It's and you know, and the bottom line, and this is something that Robert Redford, I hopefully you'll get him on the show. He was on Olbermann last night. He taped a commercial for NRDC about, you know, it's time for the president to get off his butt and start leading and explaining to the public, here is the clearest example that fossil fuel use is unsustainable, it has devastating consequences
yep.
that we're not factoring in, we need
yep.
a transition off of the dirty, unsafe fuels of the 19th century
yep.
into the clean, safe fuels of the 21st century that never run out.
Yep, I mean, you know, I agree with my buddy Ed Schultz. I was on his show last night, who's saying that, you know, the message of these primaries, Joe, is, you know, the president should take, don't, you know, it's okay to go to the left. That's the progressive candidate one in Pennsylvania. You know, Alan Grayson, who we're having on today, is, you know, obviously wildly popular and doing unbelievable numbers in fundraising. And so, you know, I mean, don't you think that's exactly right, that this drilling is more moving to the center and the stuff that he's been trying to do, you know, that watered down health care reform, in my opinion?
I think the message is that voters like politicians who have the courage of their convictions, who stand for something consistent. And,
right.
you know, I think that it's quite clear. The public wants clean energy. They don't understand why, you know, we don't have all the much more clean energy, much more fuel-efficient cars. And,
yeah.
you know, I think this is a slam dunk, and I think many people are puzzled why the president hasn't spoken out more. But it's just incumbent on
right.
the rest of us to keep explaining that,
yep.
that this the long-term solution is we got to get off of oil. We're not making any
yep.
more oil anyway. I mean, we're
right.
the price of oil. Is
well,
and
that's such a, you know, the meme on the right about, oh, you don't you want gas prices to go up. It's like, oh, please. We have 2% of the, you know, the world's oil. To try to suggest that that's going to affect gas prices, you know, is absolutely ridiculous, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. We have 2%, as you say, of the world's reserves. We use a quarter of the world's oil. And, you know, the bottom line is that we, as I say, we're not making more oil. We have to get off of oil. There's something I on my blog Climate Progress I call the do nothing energy tax. If you do nothing, energy prices are going to go up. And in the Bush administration, people's energy bills went up $1,100 a year because of the rise in the price of oil and the rise in the price of electricity. So this notion
yeah.
that we can keep doing nothing and
yeah.
that's the solution to Americans' pocketbook problems, I just think that's absurd.
Joe Rome, that's why we love you, and we love having you on from this. And by the way, thanks for the tip about getting Robert Redford on, but I only just got him to stop calling me at home, so I don't want to encourage that sort of behavior. Joe Rome from the Center for American Progress, please check back in with us, won't you, sir?
Yes, and I have to get you my new book, Straight Up. I don't think have we sent that to you yet?
We have not.
No, right. I would like that, please.
All righty, I will follow up and do that.
Awesome.
All right. Thank you, sir. And that was very seamless, that plug. love you. Miss you already.
All
okay.
Right.
There he goes. Joe Rome. All right. That was when the guy slips his arm around you at the movie and just cops a field and doesn't think you'll notice.
That's right.
Could I have some of that popcorn?
No, but we'll have him on again to talk about his book because he's great. He
yeah.
knows his stuff.
Yeah, he's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
All right, 21 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Can we absolutely positively guarantee that it will give me an orgasm?
Yeah.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
You and I, we get chatting social media. There's no stopping us.
You have no idea what social media is.
I'm in a virtual Twitter panic, what with my new Facebook page and my...
Whatever.
Oh. All right, it is the Stephanie Miller Show.
Do you approve of the Facebook page? George, who set it up, was really, really nervous.
What? Do I have a history of being prickly? Why? Just because he got my entrance wrong that one time, there's no reason to...
Let's get one thing straight and we'll get along fine. My entrance. Lights first, then music, then the door, then the carpet. If a mistake is made, someone's head will roll. Would you like to guess whose?
George Vassilopoulos?
He got his head back. Everything's fine. All right. You can email me the old-fashioned way, you know, at stephaniemiller.com. Oh, by the way, somebody, a third-grade teacher, finally let us know what the, you know, the stuff is, because we keep the dispersant in the oil spill. We keep saying it's like that powder they threw on barf when you were in school. The orange powder that, in my opinion, made it worse.
I think I went to a low-budget...
It smelled like Parmesan cheese to me.
I think I went to a low-budget school because we didn't have that. We just had a mop. We didn't have any dispersant.
No. Anyway, Jay, a third-grade teacher, Steph, Chuck Up is the name of the sawdust-like cleanup product.
That's you not what it's called. Oh, my God.
Chuck Up, which, you know, by the way, that, just saying that...
Man.
Yeah.
That one made me puke.
Yeah, that's just this... I don't think that was unnecessary to name it that, wasn't it? That's... All right. Who saw... a Rand Paul interview yesterday.
Oh, my God.
I read about a few things about it on Rachel Maddow.
Yes. You must watch the Rachel Maddow interview. But in one of my spates of insomnia last night, I actually even saw the O'Reilly interview, and it seemed like O'Reilly thinks he's nuts. I mean, literally, first of all, Chris, here's one of these libertarian, oh, I want the government out of my life thing, who believes that a woman should not have a right to have an abortion even in cases of rape or incest.
Yes.
That kind of, you know, keep people, the government out of people's lives. I'm like, and then, you know when he said, what was the thing he said, Chris, about we're here, we have a message, we're here to take our country back? Mm-hmm. I think what he meant was back to a time when... Black people couldn't sit at the same lunch counters, and we didn't let people with disabilities.
Yeah.
You know,
he thinks business owners should decide whether black people should enter their establishments or not.
Good job, Tea Party. Yee-hoo! Doggy! 29 minutes after the hour, back with more on all that on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
You skinny-armed little bitch!
Thank you, P90X. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. So I got booked last minute on the Ed Show, and, you know, after I've already begun cocktail hour, that's always a little, you know, dicey. But I pulled it out, and... I got to say, you know, Chris, we've talked about this, and Ed's been saying the same thing. I don't know what the hell the Republicans are celebrating for. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I posited last night that I think John Boehner was crying his bronzer off somewhere.
Yes, he was.
If Rand Paul is any indication of what's in store for the Republican Party, if the Tea Party continues to drive them to their lunatic right fringe, all I got to say is, party over here, party over there. So, first of all, what's up with his hair? Let's start with that. Could he get a suit that doesn't look like he stole it from a hobo? I don't know.
But enough about his looks. Let's go with what
enough
his
about that.
What his thoughts
but
are.
Rachel
the substance.
Maddow just made mincemeat out of him.
She did.
I mean, and even Bill O'Reilly was just like, oh, boy. Because this is, he's like his dad. Remember last time I was on the, what do you call it, Larry King?
Larry King. Mm-hmm.
With Ron Paul. And it really is one of those, you're just like, yes, oh, that makes a lot of sense. Yes, yes. Oh, hold on now. That's... Oh, that's some crazy. Okay.
Yeah, his dad is charming, though.
Yes, yes, he is.
This Rand, guy seems like Rand a little is twit. Not. Yeah, he's I know. Not charming.
Yeah, I mean, what's that all about? I mean, even though Riley was pressing him on, so you would make abortion illegal. I mean, he's one of those extremists that, like, yeah. I mean, I guess, yeah, women are going to prison. I suppose.
Well, he can't make abortion illegal. Well,
I mean, literally saying yes on every level, in cases of rape and incest, and it, I believe O'Reilly even said the health of the mother. Like, mm-hmm. Yes, no exceptions, no, I mean, it's just like, wow.
That's not very libertarian of him, is it? Because that's the government getting all up in your business.
Yeah, and then he's that crazy kind of libertarian-y, that is so pro-business. I mean, in a country that 80% of us think the Citizens United, decision was wrong,
mm-hmm.
So he's so pro-business that he just thinks business should decide whatever they want. So if they want to resegregate, the lunch counter at Walgreens, that would be fine with him.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Or
like
if they want to deny access to people in wheelchairs by...
People in wheelchairs,
yeah,
yes.
Building steps to all of their doors, they can do that.
Yes. I mean, it really, I was watching and I thought, oh my God. And he won by what, like 30 points? I mean, the Republican establishment has got to be, they've got to be just bat this morning about that. Like, what? This is, anyway, I'm reading a story today. I think Progress, Rand Paul, not an anomaly. More fringe Tea Party candidates set to knock off favored GOP candidates. I mean, Bob Bennett, not conservative enough for them in Utah. Charlie Crist, obviously not conservative enough in Florida. I mean, so, maybe I'll have to take back my thing that they've over-exaggerated the Tea Party. Maybe they haven't. It's really bad news for Republicans, is my point. You know what I mean? Because I keep saying part of it is like a media-created thing. But this is what I've been saying from day one. They are going to – they're lunatic far-right fringe is what they are. And to me, this is only good news for the Democratic Party.
Absolutely. We're staying cohesive. They're the ones that are splintering.
Yeah. And like Ed keeps saying, I think the message is, we'll talk to Alan Grayson about it coming up in a few minutes, but we've been tooting Joe Sestak's horn for a year. I mean, and Joe Sestak, hello, smart enough to come on shows like the Stephanie Miller Show and the Ed Schultz Show. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I mean, Ed and I have been saying this. The progressive base is the sleeping giant. This Tea Party lunatic fringe is just going to drive them off the right cliff, I think. So he beat, what's his name, Trey Grayson. I mean, that's what Charlie Pierce said, right? When a white Republican guy named Trey can't win in Kentucky, the Republican establishment is. Obviously, Mitch McChinless, Yertle, the biggest loser last night, mm-hmm. Yertle the Turtle, day before yesterday, pardon me.
No lettuce for him.
Exactly. I mean, I was just thinking about how things have gone all cattywampus, to borrow a phrase from you, Chris, in politics right now. So not only did heavyweight Republicans like Dick Cheney and Rudy Giuliani stump for Trey Grayson, the guy got his ace kicked.
Yep.
But I mean, and this is what, remember when Rudy Giuliani was the favored presidential coach, and he's mocking Ron Paul in those debates, like he's like he just got past security or something,
right?
And now look at, how the worm has turned, for God's sakes. Look at Bernie Kerik's in prison. Rudy Giuliani imploded in, the first 2 minutes of the Republican thing. And now...
It really makes you wonder about Rudy Giuliani's judgment. We dodged a bullet there. Oh, holy cow.
I know. Well, it's just after the whole 9/11 sheen wore off, you're like, wait a minute, who thought to put the command center in the World Trade Center? Wait a minute. Who didn't, let the police and fire radios communicate? Oh, America's mayor did. It was that guy. And then just politicize the bejesus out of it, right? I mean, in the prism of time sometimes. But anyway, so look at what's happened. So, they had the entire Republican establishment behind him, including, by the way, some shadowy GOP front groups. like the American Future Fund, which casts itself as a Tea Party group, ran harsh attack ads against Rand Paul.
Yet a Tea Party group attacking a Tea Party candidate.
Well, because I think the Republican establishment obviously was behind the other guy, and they were scared of Rand Paul, and it just. But again, you know, I'm just saying, I think this imploded on them, much like it did in New York 23rd, in Illinois, and I think in the general, if last night's interviews are any indication, this is going to implode on them again.
Yep.
The far-right Tea Parties have been uncontrollable, demanding that Republican candidates support extreme positions like eliminating Social Security, Medicare, the Department of Education, even the American with Disabilities Act. I mean, that's all I'm saying is when people start to realize how extreme some of these candidates like Rand Paul really are, I mean, you know, they're all, boy, that was a short party, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
Carly in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania. Hey, Carly, welcome. Hello, Carly. Carly, uh-oh, is there another button wrong in here?
No, I think it's fine.
All right, Carly, you there?
Nope.
Okay, I will, I'll just make sure. You know what, I might have kicked the Zephyr settings with my foot or
whatever.
Again, who knows? All right, at any rate, yeah, an analysis on, I guess that's my phone lines, I guess they're okay.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Analysis on MSNBC.com also saying analysis hold that celebration. Republicans special election throws cold water on Republicans' high hopes. I mean, I know they're spinning it. I'm sure we'll get to that in right wing world. But MSNBC.com, the analysis this morning as well, saying this is a caution to Republicans eagerly looking ahead to major gains this fall, possibly even a huge wave that sweeps them into power in one or both houses of Congress. Case in point, and again, you know, interesting what the mainstream media focuses on or not. Mark Crit's victory over Republican Tim Burns in a race to fill out the final few months of Jack Murtha's terms. Republican officials, I don't know if you remember, they did nothing to discourage it. They pronounced the race one that the GOP couldn't afford to lose, and except they did, by 53-45% of the district where John McCain won in 2008, where President Obama's approval ratings are in the 35% range, and where the administration's energy policy may seem threatening to the many of the thousands employed in the region's coal industry. So, you know, if ever there was a test case for 2010, that was it.
Absolutely.
And they, Michael Steele, with his finger on the pulse as usual, he read the returns and came to a curious conclusion. This race should serve notice to the Democratic office holders everywhere that no seat is safe and that voters will not accept business as usual.
But
you lost.
Yeah, the only election on Tuesday where a Democrat was up against a Republican.
That'll serve as notice to us. Yes, sirree.
The Democrat won.
Can I just take a brief moment to thank God once again that Michael Steele is in charge?
No, right?
Of the Republicans. Oh, by the way, wait till you hear this. Did you hear how, remember last month, he caused a media firestorm when he candidly confessed that African Americans don't really have a good reason to vote Republican?
Yes,
oopsie.
I remember that.
So in a recent interview, I think he's had a talking to, is what I think. He had a recent interview with the Atlanta Post. He now says that the GOP is the political home of African Americans. I think we can all, what?
What?
Rand Paul and segregated lunch counters. Come on home, African Americans. We'll leave the light on for you. He said, so that idea of President Lincoln as one of the founders of the party is, to me, ties us back to those very roots. It is the birthplace of black political activism. Yes, I think when you think of black political activism, you think Republican Party, which is why Rand Paul had his victory party at a country club, I'm sure didn't allow blacks at some
country
point.
Club
it's maybe with, recent history.
Country club with dues of $2,500 a month.
So as much as you want to go out and dance with Democrats, you do that all day long, but at the end of the day, you still have that place called home. So they're just away. You know, African-Americans, Chris, just having a, sort of a meth-fueled rave with Democrats right now. But they'll eventually come home.
Including glow sticks and pacifiers?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. Steele also denied that the Tea Party movement is hostile to the black community. Yeah. He said, I've met with a number of African-American Tea Party members.
What?
Really now. And then in his normal weird disconnect, he went on to praise Malcolm X, saying, I also relate to Malcolm X in that style and that side that says by any means necessary. Wow, he is really, he's one confused child.
Does he understand how much Republicans really don't like Malcolm X?
I dare him to produce a number of his African-American Tea Party member friends.
Well, there's that one guy.
All right. When we return, speaking of all this, the latest Sarah Palin boner on the, boy, oh boy, she ain't much of a pundit.
No.
Yes, we will talk about all that as we continue. 46 minutes after the hour, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, my God, that is hilarious.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
And I'm super bad. I got
Stephanie Miller.
And I'm super bad.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 50 minutes after the hour. Hop on those phones, 1-800-STEP-12. It is almost time for Face the Grayson. Congressman Alan Grayson, right after the top of the hour. It's a wildly popular new feature.
It certainly is.
Face the Grayson. Yes. In the meantime, Ted in Portland on Rand Paul, on the bat crazy Rand Paul. Hi, Ted. Oh, wait a minute. No, that's my fault.
Oh,
okay,
God.
I got it. I'm drunk. Ted, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Welcome. Thank you, Stephanie.
Thank you.
I tried to give this Rand Paul guy a chance last night by listening to him on Rachel Maddow's show, and the more the guy talked, the more confused I got. It seems like if he's trying to present himself as the unpolitician, he can avoid and confuse and argue in
right.
circles with the best
well,
of them.
And that's the first thing, Ted. Right at first, you go, oh, okay, he had the nads to come on Rachel, and then you're like, oh, this was not a good idea.
Yeah, thanks, Rachel.
Who advised him to do this?
Bye.
All right. Thank you, honey. Let's go to Lavender Pitt, the official roller derby queen of the Stephanie Miller Show in Tucson. Hello, Lavender.
Morning, Mama. Morning, Lou. I also was watching Rand Paul last night, and it caused me to think about the philosophy of his namesake, Ayn Rand, whose philosophy of individualism was so severe that it actually proactively touts selfishness as a virtue.
Yep.
I was reading
right.
this morning somewhere on the great wide world of the Internet that the only other philosophy that came to mind that actively promoted selfishness as a virtue was the Church of Satan.
Yeah. No, I know. I mean, it really, that's the thing. You know, that's what I was saying. It's like some of the stuff, I mean, obviously when Ron Paul would talk about the war in Iraq, you'd be like, oh, well, he's dead on. He's right. He's,
absolutely.
You know, and you just, but then it's like the deeper you get, you're like, oh. Oh, no, that's really crazy. He was doing good right up until then. Okay.
Well, yeah.
Sarah Palin, by the way, I know this will come as a shock to many of you, but... So this is what she's getting paid for, is this punditry thing.
That's what I hear tell.
Yes. On the Fox News, and what the Fox? She, not only was she dead wrong in her punditry, she also didn't even know who was running against who.
You're kidding me.
Yes, I'm not sure which, I think it was Hannity. He said, here you have John Murtha's old seat. He held for all these years. 2-1 Democrat to Republican in the district, literally neck and neck. If Burns pulls this off tonight, he was running against Tim Burns.
Mm-hmm.
What would that say to you? Palin's answer revealed that she thought Burns was running against Arlen Specter.
Oh, dear. Oh.
So clearly neither was she briefed, nor does she really have any idea what she's talking about as usual. She said in her usual word salad,
mm-hmm.
I think Burns will pull this off tonight.
Computer says no.
First of all, that part wrong.
Yeah, very wrong.
And just like the Rand slide, oh, she's good with the quips and the zingers. You betcha.
That was written for her.
just like the Rands. Yeah, well, the proper information as to who was running where was not written for
That's
her.
That's right.
And just like the Rands slide we were talking about, you're going to see Burns having this representation of smaller, smarter government, getting the economy back on the right track with a limited overreach of the governments. That's what Burns stands for. And, you know, Specter, he was a representative of a bigger government even when he was in the Republican Party. And people are saying, when you consider what it is he stood for and voted on and represent, enough's enough. That's not what our country needs today. We need someone like Tim Burns up in there. And you're going to see that via vote today with the electorate. Mm. Wow, whole pile of wrong.
Yeah.
Grammatically, politically, factually, just wrong, wrong, wrong.
Even
Burns, of course, lost to a... Pardon me?
Even inflectionally.
Yes.
She just has an awful inflection.
Burns lost by, I believe it was 45% to 53% in the final analysis. But nice try, Caribou Barbie. You keep at it. You betcha.
Mm-hmm.
All right. George in Tempe wants to know if I'm a good witch or a bad witch. Hello, George.
Yeah, I'm starting to think.
Why, I'm not a witch at all.
You know, you picked Barack Obama 2 years before he was elected. You picked Joe Sestak a year. I mean, he was such an obscure candidate. I'm trying to figure out what the heck. I mean, what kind of deal did you make? And with whom, man? That's scary. You're wicked smart, you know? Wicked smart.
Oh, getting sleepy. Thank you, George. Why, I'm not a witch at all, am I, Chris? Am I?
I'm just glad you're 3,000 miles away.
Let's go to Jessica in Cincinnati. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Jess.
Good morning, folks. How are you all?
Good.
That's good. I saw the interview last night with Rachel. Oh, my God, if there was ever such a thing as an evisceration on television, that's what happened last night. Oh,
And the thing is, like, Rachel's not mean at all. She's actually a very nice person, a very fair interviewer. She really, I think, sincerely wants to get Republicans on, you know?
And I had some hopes for him. I thought, okay, he's a little different. Maybe he's like his dad. Sadly, he's nothing like his dad. He doesn't have a thought at all. It's like he just spews out stuff and he doesn't really know what he's saying, kind of like the girl Sarah.
Yeah, and he seems, I mean, let's just put it too fine a point. He's a jerk. He seems like a jerk. You know, he wouldn't even take the concession call from his, you know, the guy he beat. He's just.
I know.
I'm like, oh, how does he run as an outsider? His daddy's been in Congress for 30 years. He's like this rich Republican twit kid that doesn't even have the political instincts to know that maybe you shouldn't hold your victory party at a country club.
Yeah.
As far as Michael Steele, you know, as an African-American who leans to the Democratic Party sometimes, I consider myself an independent, there's a whole lot of history regarding African-Americans in politics, especially the Republican Party. You know, for the longest time, a lot of people like to say Martin Luther King was a Republican. And I think, you know, Michael Steele and folks like him kind of miss that whole flip-flop that happened during the 60s.
He skipped the whole Southern strategy. He skipped that part, the Republican Party. Yeah. Carly in Gettysburg, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Carly, welcome.
Good morning. Thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you today?
Good. Go ahead.
Well, I just want to tell you, I live in Gettysburg, historic Gettysburg, and on June 19th, they're actually funding an Aryan Nation rally. And the Gettysburg Times says they're going to be having speeches and discussions of current events like immigration, homosexuality, and political issues.
The white supremacists are dabbling in homosexuality now, are they?
Great.
They're getting their racism all up in their homophobia? Can you mix those two? I guess so.
And then on top of that, the last time the KKK met in 2006, it cost the taxpayers of Gettysburg $64,000 to protect them.
My vey.
I know.
Yeah, free speech is a bitch sometimes, isn't it? Sometimes it's like, all right, do we have? Okay, for them too. 58 minutes after the hour, it is time to face the Grayson. Congressman Alan Grayson will take your calls next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show. I'm walking on sunshine. Whoa.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere if you would like to face the Grayson. Congressman Alan Grayson, yes. Coming up in just a moment. StephanieMiller.com, the new website. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris Lloyd, voice Deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. Mama's appearance on The Ed Show up at StephanieMiller.com and on my brand fancy new Facebook page.
That's right. There is a link to your fancy new Facebook page right there, top and front and center at StephanieMiller.com. So
yes.
Please become
and I
a
feel
fan.
Like the Holly Hunter character in Broadcast News, you know, when they say it must be hard being the smartest person in every room. And I'm like, yes, I know.
Yeah.
Yes, right about Joe Sestak, right about Alan Grayson, right about the pulse of the American people. I know, it does. It gets tiring.
Right about origami.
If only somebody could help me carry the load.
And now it's time for Congressman Alan Grayson and your chance to face the Grayson.
That's right, at 1-800-STEP-1-2. Good morning, Congressman Alan Grayson.
Good morning. Here I am helping you to carry the load.
Yay.
Thank you. Thank you very much. It's a hard load I shoulder. But, you know, I've been, I don't know if you watched The Ed Show last night. I don't know if, you saw this Rand Paul interview on Rachel Maddow. But, I mean, it is hilarious. Like, what are the Republicans celebrating about after the primaries?
Well, I think they're celebrating the fact that in every primary that they had a contest to see which right-winger could be the most right-wing.
Yep.
And the right-wingers won.
And the winners, the lunatic fringe right-wing. Well, you know, but I've been saying this, Congressman, that, you know, for the last year or so, I mean, I've been tooting Joe Sestak's horn and saying, you know, and I think Ed Schultz is making this same point that, you know, the message to the White House should be don't be afraid to go to the left. You know, people like, that's why people like you are getting such amazing support, fundraising and otherwise, because people want real Democrats. They want Democrats that are more progressive than some of the ones that are in, don't you think?
Sure. I mean, for the last couple of elections, we've tried what it would be like to have more Democrats. Now we need better Democrats.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right. Well, that's Democrats, what I mean. I take Democrats. From Joe Sestak and Blanche Lincoln, don't you?
Yeah, I agree. I think that the so-called moderates in the party are showing over and over again that they actually lose elections.
Right. And I don't know about you, but I've said this, too, that this Tea Party thing, I think this is only good news for Democrats and bad news for Republicans. I mean, I don't know if you saw Rand Paul, but you're thinking, oh, my God, this is, you know, this is a guy that is so far right, it's hard to know where to even start. He's not really sure if it should be okay to resegregate lunch counters. I mean, you know, what do you think is going to happen in the general there?
I think that the whole Republican Party is unduly preoccupied with things that most rational people regard as nonsense.
Right.
And the Democratic Party over and over again is offering solutions to people's real problems in their lives, whether it's health care or education or jobs or the economy. We're trying to figure out what to do to make things better. And the Republicans are descending further and further into senile dementia.
That's, you know, and meanwhile, a lot of the great stuff that is in the health care bill that you fought for, that you talked about, is going to start kicking in. And I think people are going to start seeing that, aren't they?
Yes. And the health care bill is a work in progress. I've already introduced a bill called the Medicare That You Can Buy Into Act, which we talked about before,
yeah.
that will make it better by giving people a genuine public option. If you want Medicare and you're willing to pay for it, then you get it, no matter what your age might be. And
which makes me love you really to an unholy extent, which I thought was impossible to love you more than I already do politically.
Well, but, please keep it up.
A brilliant, a simple idea. But to me, the message was, you know, people stood up for the people that are standing up for them in this election, for the working folk. You know, as you say, the lunch bucket issues, the issues that you know, are really going to help people, like the health care. Like, I mean, I look at this. Financial reform got stopped again yesterday. I mean, if that's what they want to run on, right, being on the side of the big banks and the big insurance companies and big oil, then go for it, right?
Well, that's exactly the side that they're on. In the case of the health care debate, they wanted to have the right for the so-called right for insurance companies to operate across state lines. It truly means just the right for big insurance companies to buy small insurance companies and eliminate what little competition is left. They wanted that because the insurance companies wanted it. And they wanted so-called tort reform, even though 39 states already have so-called tort reform, because they wanted to wipe out what was left in 11 states. And why was that? Because the insurance companies wanted it. You know, if the insurance companies wanted a pony, the Republicans would try to get them a pony.
That's what you see over and over again. They are complete sellouts.
Yep. Well, you know, and it's interesting. I had drinks the other night with one of the fine folks from UAW, and we were talking about, you know, not just the mining disaster, but, you know, this oil disaster, which I don't know if you've heard the latest, but so this may be 19 times worse than the previous estimate. And, you know, clearly it seems that BP may have criminal liability here in that they've actively been trying to cover this up and giving Congress the wrong information, don't you think?
Well, the sad part of it is that some earlier Congress, which must have been a sellout Congress, voted to limit their liability. I can't even understand the concept of that. This is the company that makes $1 billion or more every month. Every month. Why would we want to limit their liability to $75 million? To them, that's literally chump change.
Yep, absolutely. All right, time to face the Grayson. Sue in Rockville, Maryland, you're on with Congressman Alan Grayson. Good morning, Sue.
Good morning. Good morning. I want to first of all thank Congressman Grayson for all his hard work and say, as a fellow Bronxite, we survived the Bronx, but I went to Evander Childs instead of Bronx High School of Science.
Well, you can take the boy out of the Bronx, but you can't take the Bronx out of the boy.
And you can't take the girl out of the Bronx out of the girl either.
I don't know. If you watch Bonfire of the Vanities, I'm not sure that's wise, but all right.
No, you know why? Because we're fighters. When push comes to shove, we fought our way out, and we stay fighters, and I thank you for that. But my question to you, sir, is that I don't understand. I've talked to several other congresspeople, congress critters, as Steph calls them, and why can't
Not Congressman Grayson, but go ahead.
Oh, okay, sorry. But why can't we lift the cap on FICA? Why should the vast majority of Americans pay FICA on 100% of their income because they earn less than $102,000 a year when these fat tech CEOs pay all of their FICA in their first week or, you know, 2 weeks of employment? If we had a progressive FICA tax, then everyone would be contributing their 6%. Continually, it would replenish the coffers of the Treasury. It would hurt no one. The companies that make the most would continue to be able to do the copay on that. And why shouldn't people making over $200,000, $300,000, $1 million continue to pay a fair share of that?
Well, I think it's a question of timing more than anything else. We actually took a step in that direction when we said that the Medicare tax, the 2.9% Medicare tax, applies not only to the income of people who work, but also to unearned income as part of the health care bill in order to finance that. So we're taking steps in that direction. I don't think this is the right time to be raising taxes. I think the economy is very weak. We've got roughly 20% of the country is broke. They owe more than they own. They have a negative net worth, and this is including many people who are employed and finding that they're getting deeper and deeper into debt every day because their debts are 30% or 24% APR, and they just catch up. So I don't think this is a good time to be thinking about raising taxes, but what you just described could turn out to be some kind of long-term fix for financing Social Security as the number of people who work goes down and the number of people who are retired goes up with the baby boomers retiring next year.
Mm-hmm. Carlos in Chicago, time to face the Grayson. Good morning, Carlos.
Good morning. Congressman, this is an honor, and even more importantly, it's very cool to be speaking to you. I have a huge man crush on you, a hetero man crush, and my wife will be happy to hear that. I just wanted to know if you
You're making Stephanie nervous.
I know, it's okay. It's very beer swilling, towel snapping, kind of a crush. Go ahead.
Exactly. You know, like not Republican type man crush, a Democrat man, not a Renfro
right.
man.
Crush. Where is Eric Nassar when you need him?
I am.
Go ahead, Carlos.
I am just very curious if you would ever move. I won't call it up, but move over to the Senate. We could really use voices like yours in the U.S. Senate. It just seems like we don't have enough real Democrats there.
Well, thanks. I have an election to win in November, running for re-election in the House. I'm the first Democrat to represent Orlando in 34 years.
Wow.
And
yeah,
awesome. I had to beat a four-term incumbent to do it, and the district is entered, like all the districts in Florida, to benefit the Republican Party.
Mm-hmm.
It stretches for 140 miles, basically for the sole purpose of making it difficult to elect or re-elect a Democrat. So that's what I'm thinking about right now. You know, the future's so bright, I've got to wear shades. But the fact remains that I need to win in November in order to do anything else.
Right. Boy, that would – but I must say, that would – You would shake up the Senate. I would just want to know in the first day or two how many people would say to you, you can't talk that way in the Senate. Let's go to Jill in Ithaca. You're on with Congressman Grayson. Go ahead, Jill.
Oh, good morning. What a pleasure it is.
So wait, there are still people living in Ithaca?
Oh, stop it.
Oh, no.
Listen, I'm originally from Queens.
Oh, okay. Now I understand.
That's a
funny
borough.
I get it now.
Funny borough. We had Seinfeld. Anyway, you're a stand-up guy, and I really appreciate that. Is there anything you or my congressman, Maurice Kinchy, who's wonderful, can do about stopping BP from putting more dispersants into the ocean and the Gulf rather than coagulants? Is there anything you guys can do?
I think that's really misguided. It's as if they are doing a science experiment on all of us. Nobody
right.
knows the effects of these chemicals on biology. They're banned in Great Britain. Nobody asked permission to do this. They just went ahead and did this because they thought it might be a good idea. And they've done enough damage to the environment already to put a chemical like that that, for all we know, could, I don't know, cause cancer maybe?
Yeah.
To put that in the environment in the massive quantities that they're putting in the environment seems to me to be building crime upon crime at this point.
And yeah, what do we do about it? Yeah.
Well, we need to have the government step in. We need to have the executive branch step in and assert itself. I think that what's happened is the president has handed this off to the Coast Guard, and the Coast Guard isn't really equipped to make these kinds of decisions.
So
they have in turn handed it off to BP and to Transocean. And BP basically in this situation is doing whatever it thinks is best, which is exactly what got us into this situation.
Well, yeah, that's exactly right. And I think you make, you know, the cogent point that it's a lot more. We've never done it to this degree. I mean, look at, you know, the news today about it's 19 times worse than the previous estimate. So you're right. And then add on top of that the amount of dispersant that's never been used before, which, you know, appears, you're right, to have hurt, you know, people in the Exxon Valdez incident. And we don't even know whether it's making it worse.
Well, if the new estimate is correct, then the amount of oil that's pouring into the ocean every 3 days is the same as what poured into the ocean in the Exxon Valdez spill.
Yeah.
That's a shocking, shocking amount of oil.
I know. Well, I mean, as we end the segment every week by saying, if only there were 100 Alan Graysons in the Congress. But I have to say, you know, this is one of the things I think...
Oh, come on, Stephanie, I'm not that great. You know, I'll tell you,
yes, you are.
I listened to the show afterward last week because we say it, mm-hmm. and then you broadcast it several hours later on national radio.
Right.
And as I was listening to the show and listening to what I said, I had the same feeling over and over again. I said to myself, this guy Grayson is so predictable. I knew he was going to say that. Every time I opened my mouth, I said, oh, God, I knew he was going to say that. Because I'd already said it.
You're so hard on yourself. You're good enough. You're smart enough. And you can be a senator like Al Franken. Now, my point in closing was going to be, though, that, you know, Joe Sestak has come on progressive radio a lot, and Ed Schultz has made this point, too. I think it's not the Tea Party. It's the progressive base that's the sleeping giant here in 2010. Because I'm telling you, you know, people like you that have embraced it, like Joe Sestak, and really understand, you know, what got them elected, I think is going to save the day, I hope.
In Murtha's district, the Democratic turnout was twice as high as the Republican turnout in a district that Obama lost. In a district
yep.
that McCain won, the Democratic
yep.
turnout was 2-1 over the Republican turnout.
Yep.
So what does that tell you? Yes,
well, I have two things.
But the giant really is sleeping very lightly.
Yes. I have two things to say about that, neener and meaner. Congressman Alan Grayson, and another stunning edition of Face the Grayson. Don't be so hard on yourself later when you hear this when it's repeated. See you next week, Congressman.
Okay, thanks.
All right, there he goes.
I knew you were going to say that.
Knight in shining armor. I love that man. All right.
Oh, boy.
It's just, I'm sorry, he brings out the Kate in me. he's talking about, when it's repeated on satellite radio later.
Yes.
Most places we're live.
Yes. But
it gives him an opportunity to be hard on himself.
Satellite radio is where he first got word of you, so that's
uh-huh.
yeah, that's his first home for you.
Alan, if you're listening right now, you did great. All right, 20 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
A perpetual motion machine, endlessly satisfying every human need.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Mic check. Yeah, here you go. Oh, nah, he over here. Yeah, I heard he got that hot new thing. It's called
Stephanie Miller.
Let's get it going.
Mm-hmm. It is the Stephanie Miller Show.
Are you hot,
new thing?
Hot new thing?
Get it. 26.
Well, you can't be a hot new thing when you're pushing 60.
I wouldn't talk, Jim. That was the lamest excuse ever. Jim Ward was late this morning because he cut his nose shaving.
Yes. And I have the Band-Aid to prove it.
Yeah, he does have a Band-Aid covering up the corner of his nose.
Are you drunk?
I was listening to the hilarious Stephanie Miller Show, and I laughed while shaving, which is always a...
Nice save, Chevrier. Stephanie in Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hey, guys. You know, the Pace and Grayson... This is a blockbuster. He is so freaking cool.
Isn't he
the
awesome?
It's he's just it's smart, you know. He's just and freaking funny. I mean, he's probably, you know. Anyway,
it says about a lot about my life. That was the most exciting thing that's happened to me. Alan Grayson will come on every week.
It's so excellent. You know, I love Bernie Sanders, but Grayson, man, he's
dreamy.
Perfect. Yeah, it's very dreamy. And I just want to quick say the Republican Party has become an adult portion and it's crazy. I mean, it's a circus over there.
Yeah.
It's a win-win for us Dems.
I'm telling you what. Yeah, give me my Fine American music, please. Julie in Seattle, a Fine American, in the smartest girl in class this morning. Same reaction many people did.
Mm-hmm.
Jim, did you watch the Rand Paul interview?
Oh, yeah.
Mama and Mooks, OMG, OMG, OMFG, OMFG, OMFFG. And that doesn't even cover what I just saw on MSNBC. If you miss Rand Paul on Rachel Maddow, words are inadequate to convey how ape crazy this dude is. He spent the whole 10 minutes elaborating on his unusual view that section of the 1964 Civil Rights Act that addressed non-discrimination in public accommodations like the Walgreens lunch counter, Bob Jones University, the town bowling alley, is not something he agrees with. Oh, but for himself, he's not a segregationist. He just thinks we have to tolerate that sort of thing when it comes to quote-unquote private business. Words fail me, and I'm not even drunk. Rand Paul is indisputably the most completely insane American national politician since George Wallace, and on the same... He kept trying an analogy on Rachel, like, see, you agree with me about regulating guns in private accommodations that came off as comparing black people to guns. Unwelcome Negroes equals gun rights? A stronger form of WTF will be needed if the Republicans don't somehow get this guy on Haldol ASAP, because people were screaming at their TVs all over the country during this lurid display of not ready for primetime Ayn Rand disciple who doesn't even have enough sense to look into the camera when interviewed on the TV.
Well, that's an interesting philosophical question, blah, 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 yada, 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 blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, we'll be back with more on that on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Sometimes they look cool.
On planet Douchelon.
Lovely.
34 minutes after the hour. Mike, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Welcome. Oh, thanks. This is the kind of change I've been waiting for, guys. I mean, where it's not about how much money someone has to tout somebody around saying they're going to win, so you can't beat Spectre, And what's happening is the human beings are rising to the top.
Yep, so much for common wisdom, right? I mean, that's what I was saying. It's just, when are people going to, I mean, pretty much every storyline the mainstream media has had on politics in the last couple of years have been wrong. Mm-hmm. There's only one place to get right.
Stephanie Miller.
That's correct.
Well, the voter thinks that the 100 seats are in play in the House this fall.
Mm-hmm. Yes, by the way, Julie continues her letter about, after watching the, Rand Paul interview, I bet the boner ring Yertle the Turtle are getting stone drunk on old man brown liquor with extra bitters. Someone left the boner out in the rain, all the sweet bronze icing flowing down. There isn't enough lettuce in the world to protect McConnell from this calamity. P.S. He warmed up with a discussion of how making businesses and elevators for people in wheelchairs, like my husband, by the way, is such something is best left to the locals.
Yeah.
This is going to biggest, rottenest albatross around Victor the Victory elephant's neck ever. Move over, Bachman Palin Overdrive. Here comes Rand Paul.
Victor the Victory elephant. I'd forgotten about that.
Wow.
Remember we were leaving the Republican convention, they were already selling them half off in the bin at the airport.
At the airport, I remember that.
Well, if you know, you're in a wheelchair, get an office on the first floor. What's the problem?
By the way, oh, here's the Glenn Beck has officially partnered with what you call it on its Twitter page. FreedomWorks announced it's officially partnering with Glenn Beck. That's our wow. Now it's really an army of Dick, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's Dick Army's
they have to call
outfit.
Call it Freedom Waterworks now because Beck will be crying at the drop of a hat.
All right, let's dive into the right-wing world and see what's doing. Speaking of the Glenn Beck, is he still having his man fight with Jim Wallace?
Yes, he is.
The mainstream media, under the direction of Jim Wallace, a Marxist, and his groups, they have the mouthpiece of this government. And I warn you, I have talked to leadership in almost every large faith in this country. They understand what social justice is, what it's turned into, and what the hour is in our country, and quite honestly, I think, on our planet. This is not a country-wide thing. This is a global problem.
Social justice has become social justice! Oh, my God!
Wow, Jim, next time we have Reverend Wallace on, he'll be surprised to know that he directs the entire mainstream media.
Yeah. Doesn't he mean Jeff Zucker?
I think...
Yeah. No.
I'm surprised he has time for our little show. All right. Doug Schoen, he's a...
He's a Fox Democrat.
He's a Democratic strategist talking about the huge calamity the primaries were for the president.
This is an anti-Washington, probably anti-Obama vote that makes clear that incumbency and being a Washington insider or a political insider is just not good.
Arlen Specter represents Obama.
Yes. Harlan Specter, who was Republican for how many years, Chris? 30?
A billion.
So,
Remind me never to hire Doug Schoen as a Democratic strategist.
Exactly. All right. Charles Krauthammer on the Bear on primary day.
If you run in your district on local issues, you stay close to the ground. You stay away from nationalizing an election. You stay away from Obama and Pelosi and the Democratic agenda in Congress. You've got a chance. And I think that there was a lot of hubris among the Republicans, and I would be included in this, on election night on January 19th after Massachusetts. It's not a slam dunk that it's going to be a complete sweep in November.
Sounds like they're getting a little nervous. Yeah, lowering expectations now.
Yeah.
What happened to the wave? There's the big Republican wave.
So Charles Krauthammer is more grounded in reality than Doug Schoen, Democratic strategist.
Yeah.
All right.
It's like they're standing there with their boogie boards.
Yeah.
That's the little wave that breaks over your ankle. Where's the...
No.
Okay.
I'll have to paddle now.
Yeah, they're going to be doing a lot of paddling. Fred Barnes on the on immigration
reform. I'm in favor of comprehensive reform. I'm in favor of amnesty for illegal immigrants who've been in the United States for a period of time. But there's only one way to get it. And you know what that is? It's probably to build a wall where it hasn't been built along our southern border, or at least increase the security many times to stop illegal immigration. If you don't do that first, you don't get comprehensive reform. And if President Obama wants that, he better understand that.
What? Who thinks that you have to have a wall, that that's the only way to get border security?
Obviously, Fred Barnes.
A lot
Barnes.
Of experts say the opposite.
Fred Barnes thinks that.
Hmm.
And maybe
I see.
Even
so
Doug
he said the reasonable thing to start out, so then you don't see how that crazy the wall sounds. Which, you know who said that was the craziest thing ever? John McCain. You remember that in the last debates.
Yeah, he's flip-flopped on that now.
Now it's a dang wall.
Yes.
A dang fence.
Finish the dang wall.
They call him Flipper.
Flipper is dead because of the oil slick.
What's that?
Flipper is dead because of the oil slick. Yeah, I saw a picture of a dead dolphin on the
beach. Oof.
And it wasn't good.
I didn't even know what coverage I was watching last night, but it was just gross. Any of the pictures, you're just like,
And part of the reason for putting these toxic dispersants in there is to hide the actual size.
To shove it under the water.
Yeah.
Yes.
Where you can't see it.
Like what?
Like when I was a kid, I didn't eat my vegetables. I would just like shove it under a napkin, like underneath the, you know, your parents wouldn't see.
No, your parents saw. I guarantee.
That's what I'm saying. I was worse than BP at trying to hide my malfeasance. Okay.
You can use all that leftover broccoli to stuff the hole.
Yeah. There you go.
There you go. Oh, there she is, Pundit Sarah Palin on the Hannity. Did you hear earlier, Jim? She completely got. Not only did she get the prediction wrong, she didn't even have the right race.
She got the candidate wrong.
She thought Burns was running against Specter. Good job, Caribou Barbie. Here's your several million dollars for your punditry.
Analysis, yeah. I thought he was running against Schreiber.
he's running against that Avery Schreiber there.
Oh, my God.
You betcha.
That's a name I haven't heard since the days of Match Game.
He's been muerto for some time.
Yes.
All right. Here she is.
This is a center-right country. Even though so many of these candidates now, they're ducking and running from President Obama. They kind of don't want him around because they fear a defeat that in some respects could be attributed to what President Obama has promised to do to this country with this fundamental transformation that he believes would be actually good for the country. So many of us are saying, no, that would not be good.
Who you mean? What you mean? We, Kimosabe? Who is she talking about?
She makes my eye hurt. Okay.
Also, too, the strategy.
Does she get paid by the word?
I think so.
Is she allowed to take a breath or is she okay?
The investors not so much. Kind of thinking no.
She's not a strong speaker
or thinker.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, Riley on the primaries.
The importance of the vote yesterday is that President Obama is no longer a force in electoral politics. He's pretty much on the sidelines. If he shows up to support a candidate, that candidate could very well lose, as we saw in Massachusetts. So if a sitting president does not have any power to sway voters, that's big. And the Democratic Party is going to have to run on its record. What is that record? Huh? Record spending.
Fixing the
enormous
economy.
Deficits and a high unemployment. Can you say, uh-oh?
No, but you better learn to.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. And that concludes a...
So that's all they've got, because Specter lost that somehow. That's a referendum on Obama.
Yep.
That really is stunning how they can, you know, literally defend an administration that left this deficit in the first place, that was losing 770,000 jobs a month when they handed the reins over, you know. And then try to make that sound like...
but they were commie jobs.
And it seems to be lost on Fox News that the only election where a Democrat was up against a Republican on Tuesday, the Democrat won.
Yeah.
Exactly. And the more Democratic of the two Democrats in Pennsylvania won.
Yes.
Okay. Steve in Kansas, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show on Rand Paul. Hello, Steve.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good, go ahead.
Have you ever heard Palin through the phone when I was on hold? I had to listen to that screed, and holy mackerel, I'm ready for an earectomy. But I'd like to say about Mr. Paul that if he's the type of person that the GOP is going to be putting out there for national office, what are they going to lay on us in 2012 for a presidential candidate? Because I can't see the party going more toward the center. They're going to put a guy out there like Paul on the national level, and that's scary.
Maybe it'll be Ron Paul and Rand Paul. Maybe it'll be father-son.
I think it'll be Mrs. Paul and her fish sticks. That'll be popular.
No, there won't be any fish left to make fish sticks out of. But Steve, you're absolutely right. It's like you think, oh, my God, who in this motley crew, seriously, is going to be their candidate
Nikki
for president?
What's that? They don't have anybody.
Nikki Six?
Never mind.
Yeah. I mean, it really is. I mean, that's the thing. They talk about, oh, the Democratic Party is going to crush in a big wave. It's like, what? Okay. First of all, so Ron Paul won the straw poll, right, at the last whatever conservative cluster thing, incorporated, whatever they call it.
Yes.
And then that gets booed. So, like, I don't remember they announced him as the winner, and then you're going, I don't know, and then the rest of the people...
He's too liberal for the D-baggers, apparently.
Yes. I, you know, Mitt Romney, are you kidding me? He's going to get teabagged right out. I mean, that was part of the, when he was running last time, even, they were talking about his, he had a pro-choice and pro-gay rights record in Massachusetts.
You can't run from that.
No, that was a different guy. That wasn't me. It was some other guy with nice hair. Somebody let the dogs out, and one of them looked like me, but it wasn't me. Woof, woof.
All right, 45 minutes left of the hour. Oh, the party of hell no did it again on financial reform. We'll talk about that as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
There's something wrong with us. Something very, very wrong with us.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Representative John Yarmuth of the great state of Kentucky will be on with us after the top of the hour. Ooh. He will have a be interesting to get his take, obviously, on the goings-on in Kentucky.
Rebecca ran in here during the break and said, John Yarmuth is fired up about Rand Paul. He really wants to talk about it. So don't miss it.
So if you decide the restaurants are publicly owned and not privately owned, and Bigfoot and the Loch Ness Monster came in there and started a fight, and a train was leaving Chicago at 12:30 with a load of bluefish, then what's the length of an isosceles triangle? And I've lost my train of thought.
Oh, boy.
What the hell? He was just...
Yeah, he reminds me of... Yeah, you're right, Jim. It was these weird, hypothetical sort of race arguments that,
If Aquaman and Superman bottled a battle... Whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. He reminds me of the... by the way, did you see this story the other day? Hang on, in that stack. Alabama teacher uses hypothetical assassination of Obama in lesson that on angles and parallel lines.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah,
because... You're kidding me.
There was that kind of talk.
It's a hypothetical.
Oh, yeah, God. There was a lot of that hypothetical talk before the Kennedy assassination, too.
Yeah.
So the Secret
Service. Investigated a teacher in Jefferson County, Alabama, after he picked the wrong example and used a hypothetical assassination of President Obama to teach angles to his geometry students. The teacher was apparently teaching his geometry students about parallel lines and angles.
Teaching angles to his Anglos.
Yes. He used the example of where to stand and aim if you were shooting Obama. He was talking about angles and said, if you're in this building, you would need to take this angle to shoot the president. The superintendent there, by the way, called the incident extremely poor judgment and a poor choice of words, but he has no plans to fire the teacher.
Oh, of course not.
So I don't know what you do have to do to get fired in Alabama from a teaching job, but apparently that's not that.
Wow. Apparently you have to strangle a puppy or something.
Interesting. Okay,
I think
then.
The Secret Service should just call in an airstrike. On Alabama? You know what?
The Stephanie Miller Show does not advocate the calling in of an airstrike against the entire state of Alabama.
We have many, many listeners in both Alabama and Mississippi.
We apologize for Jim Ward, who cut his nose shaving this morning and is not in his right.
Yeah, he lost a lot of blood.
He's a little lightheaded. We're sorry. Jim, this will cheer you up. It's a squeezy stack. Christina Aguilera says that her husband knows she gets into girls.
Oh, really?
Do you think that Christina Aguilera is feeling out-gaga'd by Lady Gaga? So she has to be.
You can't out-gaga the Gaga. Come on.
Yeah, well, Christina Aguilera used to be Lady Gaga before Lady Gaga came along. And trying to reclaim that.
Her upcoming album includes the line in one single, I'm kissing all the boys and all the girls. She says, my husband knows I get into girls.
She should do a duet with Katy Perry.
I think it's fun to be open and play.
All right,
go ahead, my. How did you?
Although she wasn't too fond of Mick Jagger playing with her on stage in that.
No.
Disc. No, she started to shrink a little bit, retreat because thought he was getting a little too touchy.
Yeah. Well, think of what that would look like up close. I mean, come on. those lips coming at you.
Mick is 100, but
exactly. Jose in Los Angeles, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Jose.
Hi. I have no problem with what Rand Paul stance was on Rachel Maddow's show. I think what she did was kind of not fair to him, because if I was a business owner, let's say there was a child molestation organization that wanted to come eat at my restaurant, I think I would want the right to deny them service just as well as the KKK
or gangsters. If anybody comes into my restaurant, I want to have the right to deny them service and not pay tax.
Yeah, but not based on
right.
their
But,
right.
Jose, in 1964, there was a little law that passed. That you're talking about, you know, groups that are advocating, in some cases, violence. We're talking about just the act of being black could keep you out of a restaurant before the Civil Rights Act.
If a business is openly racist, I'd like to know that. That way I don't have to go there myself. I don't want to give business to people who are racist. By that one stipulation of the Civil Rights Act, that forces the racist companies to stay secret, so forces us or against racism to give them our money. I don't think that's cool. I think I should have the right to decide who I give my business to as well. I'm a Hispanic American. If someone says no Hispanics welcome, that's cool with me. You know what? I'm going to go down the street and I'll go somewhere else. I want my money.
But that's what the Civil Rights Act was designed to stop. I mean, he feels the same way about, you know, the Americans with Disabilities Act. I mean, if a you know, business goes, I don't want to put in a ramp for those gimps. Like, you know, then that's okay. They don't, you know.
That's about the handicapped people, that's understandable. But the fact is, back in those days, there wasn't any protection for black people, and the federal government did step in. But now we're free. You know, we're supposedly free, and we have choices to make for ourselves. Black people have the choice to make for themselves as well, whether they want to be a patron of certain businesses
but
or not.
What if there is
and
no other choice?
Owner, I don't think, for instance, if I'm going to do business with you, I want to sell you my car. Does the government have the right to tell me I have to sell my car to the person next to you if I don't want to do business with them?
No.
It's me. This is
no.
Business.
No.
It's
you don't have to. Nobody's forcing you to sell your. Jose, are we really having a? I mean, seriously, are you really agreeing with Rand Paul that you don't understand the entire absolutely. Reason for civil rights?
It's about private property, or rights of the owner of a business. I have the right to do business and not to be forced by the government to do business with one person or another. That's basically what he stands for. He's against racism. And
Jose, hang on a second. Jim, go ahead. Jim, hang on. Or Jose, hang on a second.
You have the choice to go somewhere else. What if there is nowhere else? What if every institution is racist?
Then I cook for myself. Simple as that. I raise awareness to that business's practices. Simple as that.
Do you get your where do you get your groceries from if all the grocery stores discriminate against Hispanic people?
Then I grow for myself.
Oh, come on. You live in Los Angeles. You can't grow your own vegetables and raise your own cows. Oh, wow. Libertarians make sense for about 10 seconds and then they go completely off
the rails.
That's
exactly what I'm saying, Jim. This is what I'm saying. I was on Larry King with his dad, Ron Paul. And you're just like, yes, yes, that would, no. Oh, God, no.
No.
What are you saying?
What if the fire department discriminated against Hispanic people? Well, then you go to another fire department.
Well, then, hello.
You move your house to another town.
Hosey McHoserson, figure it out.
You move your burning house to another town where they have a better fire department.
Exactly.
It's
just
free
wear
trust.
Oven. Don't forget to wear oven mitts.
Wow. You know what, Jim? Yes. You're absolutely right. Libertarians make sense for about 10 seconds. And then they go off the rails.
Yes, exactly. All right, let's pause and digest that. Okay. All right, and then we will be back with Representative John Yarmuth of the great state of Kentucky, and also coming up this hour, Jonathan Alter of Newsweek with his new book on the president, which is fascinating, as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, it is the Stephanie Miller Show on the radio, online at stephaniemiller.com, and on Facebook.
That's right.
I have a new Facebook page, you guys. It's so great.
Oh, my God. Do you know how
there's
to get there?
There's a link to it right on $70.com.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. You have a lot of fans so far.
I knew it.
And people are posting all kinds of things, including things that say, Jim, say something funny.
My life is looking up. Guess what? Yesterday,
what?
I got invited to Melissa Etheridge's birthday party.
Hey.
What?
That's pretty cool.
Wait a minute.
That's really cool.
But you live in New York.
I know. This is how fancy I am. I got invited to the Hamptons the same weekend, so some fancy problems to figure out. Okay.
Yeah, you're so...
Although I haven't been invited to anything, as you know, in several years, so I'm a little bit, you know...
You're so in touch with your people. Should I go to Melissa Etheridge's or should I go to the Hamptons?
Mm. Oh, it's such
a dilemma. So difficult to decide.
All right, this hour of the Stephanie Miller Show brought to you by GoToMeeting. GoToMeeting, the best way to host an online meeting. My listeners can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click on the Try It Free button, type in that promo code Stephanie. Be sure to use the promo code Stephanie.
All right, take Stephanie the Bugatti or the yacht. So many decisions.
Please. All right. You can email us all at thestephaniemiller.com, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. We are pleased to be joined by Representative John Yarmuth of the great state of Kentucky to talk about all the goings-on in Kentucky on primary day. Good morning, Congressman.
Good morning, Stephanie. And you will be invited to the next Bourbon Caucus event, Congressional Bourbon Caucus.
Sweet.
I promise you.
Sweet. How about the Kentucky Derby? I can go get a big hat like Julia Roberts in Pretty Woman.
Okay, you're on for next May.
Congressman, did you happen to watch any of the Rand Paul interviews, particularly the Rachel Maddow interview last night?
Oh, I did. And I have to say that we've kind of been waiting for this to happen because we were aware of some of this stuff.
Right.
Seen the video of the editorial board session he did at the Courier Journal. So, but we didn't want to upset the primary. We wanted him to win. this guy is so out of touch with the 21st century. It's mind-boggling. And pure libertarianism is fine if you're talking about it in your living room. When you try to implement it in the real world, it comes up against some really uncomfortable conflicts. And I mean, I'll tell you, at our Democratic caucus meeting this morning, when you heard people like Jim Clyburn and John Lewis express themselves on this, you understand the impact that these comments have. I mean, this is a nuclear bomb in the Republican Party.
I'm telling you what, and just when they're trying to fight this perception that the Tea Party's racist, and I mean, literally, Congressman, that's what I was saying. When he said, we're here to take our country back, we're like, then suddenly you're like, oh, you mean back to when black people couldn't sit at the same lunch counters
with
the white people,
Oh, exactly right. And I said, Ben Chandler and I were talking this morning. Ben represents the other Democrat from Kentucky in Congress, and he represents the Lexington area. And we said, this means 30,000 or more new votes for Jack Conway. It probably means that many for me just because of the people it will bring to the polls to reject this type of attitude. And, I don't really believe Rand Paul's a racist. Again, he's just a captive of this view that that government has no place in society. And,
in anything,
in anything. And that's,
People should be able to decide for themselves whether they feel like accommodating, disabled people.
as long as it's their house, that's true. But when it's the taxpayers' fire department is protecting them, and the police are protecting them, and the taxpayers build roads to their businesses, they lose their a certain segment of their private right of expression.
Let's talk about your poor beleaguered friend Mitch McConnell.
Oh my God! Well, it does my heart. It really pains me that he's going to go through this kind of agony as to what to do. And we're cutting him slack. We waited a few hours to demand that he respond. We let him get his first cup of coffee before we said you've got to disavow this guy. I think what Mitch would probably be saying to himself and to many other of his colleagues is, I told you so. He endorsed Trey Grayson, and I think that's why he did, because he knew that Rand Paul is such a loose cannon that it was going to jeopardize the chances of winning that seat. And
it's funny. And Rachel Maddow was such a nice person. She seemed to be trying to be helpful. She's like, you're going to have a lot more interviews just like this one. Until you figure out how to respond, to these kind of questions.
Oh, and I think, in Kentucky right now, what business person is going to try to help Rand Paul either financially or with his or her vote? Because, you could turn Kentucky, and I got to perish the thought, you could turn Kentucky into the next Arizona. we're bit with businesses all over the country boycott and citizens boycotting Kentucky because of the stances of one crazy person. And
well, to me, and you tell me what you think, but I thought this was nothing but good news for Democrats on primary day. I mean, not only did we, win John Murtha's seat, but I mean, to me, the more Democratic of the Democratic candidates did well. Joe Sestak, and obviously there's going to be a runoff in Arkansas with Blanche Lincoln. So I think Mitch McConnell was the biggest loser in Kentucky, right?
There's no question about that. He was totally repudiated. And there was one great comment. We have a woman in Kentucky named Jennifer Moore, who's a former state party chair, and she was on a pre-election night program, and the Republicans were trying to spin it because they knew Rand Paul was going to win. They said, oh, endorsements don't mean anything. They don't mean anything more. This won't be a repudiation of Mitch McConnell. And Jennifer said, well, I think to Mitch McConnell, his endorsement meant something, or he wouldn't have done it.
Right.
He thought it meant something. It's a great
right.
comeback. This is quite a repudiation of him, and again, it couldn't happen to a nicer guy. So
there's always this common wisdom, like, in certain areas the Democrats have to be very conservative. It's like, Blanche Lincoln sure did get repudiated, and Arlen Specter sure did get repudiated. I mean, I think that. I know Ed Schultz was saying this last night, when I was on the show, when he was talking about, I hope that the White House gets the message that it's okay to go to the left. This is, the sleeping giant may be the progressive base in this country,
well,
don't you think?
It's okay to show that you believe in something and stand for it, and you want to move the country forward, and you actually have bold ideas for society, and you actually have a dream as to what society should look like, and that of course is what the Republicans don't have, is they don't have any. You say, what's your dream for America? Well, we're out of debt. That's okay. That's a dream, but that doesn't really take us anywhere. And Barack came to, I think, was elected to the presidency because Americans felt he had a vision for what America should be, and I think now. He should be emboldened. We all should be emboldened to do that.
I love, here's our friend, your friend Mitch McConnell yesterday. I mean, it really is amazing. So, they're able to stop financial reform yet again, to block, that from getting done yesterday. And I love it. Here's the implication that the Democrats are using this financial crisis.
The arrogance of this approach to governing is truly astounding. It uses this crisis as yet another opportunity to expand the cost and size and reach of government.
See, there you go, using this financial crisis to imply that they need some sort of regulation in the financial markets.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, I have to listen to Mitch all the time.
Yeah.
But he says stuff because that's the talking point that he needs to keep his base in line. But as I think we've seen and we saw Tuesday, his base is not necessarily the most helpful part of the Republican Party right now.
Yeah.
In Kentucky alone, they did a poll that 43% of the people who voted, who said they were going to vote for Trey Grayson, said they would not support Rand Paul. So, the mainstream Republicans, I think, and there are a lot of very good people out there, understand that the base is troublesome, to say the least.
Yeah, I'll say. I look at this latest. I mean, I'm sure you heard the breaking news that this oil spill may be, what is it, 19 times the previous, 19 times worse than the previous estimate?
Yep.
According to this engineering professor, he told Congress this yesterday. And, once again, you have the Republicans, the Democrats are using this crisis to imply that maybe drilling isn't safe. or there should be some sort of regulation.
I mean, mines ought to be unionized because that little coal thing.
Well, we know that the Republicans have really gone into Alice in Wonderland. It's all through the looking glass. It's don't believe what you see, and up is down, and down is up, and that's the perfect example of it. I mean, the people in this country are not going to be fooled. They see every day the pictures of that oil just almost projected into the water, and these terrible pictures of the oil spill and where it's going. And I mean, this is a catastrophe of unprecedented, unimaginable dimensions. And the fact that anybody would think we're trying to exploit it, God, we
we better learn something from it. I mean, that's all
yeah.
I'm saying. We better damn well learn something from it.
Yeah, there is such a thing as a cause and effect. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It just that's the problem. Like I was saying, there's such parallels to the mining disaster that, you know, when you cut corners and you're only in it for profit and you're not taking care of worker safety or the environment, this is what happens.
And when the cost to you of doing it is limited, as the law had did, and we're now trying to reverse that. But this law that capped their damages at $75 million. I mean, if your exposure is limited to that extent, then you're more willing to take risks. That's true of Wall Street. It's true of drilling. It's true of mining.
Yeah, absolutely. Representative John Yarmuth of the great state of Kentucky, thanks so much for checking in with us this morning. Great to get your take on what's going on in Kentucky and around the country. Thanks so much.
Great. Thanks for having me on, Stephanie.
All right, you too, sir. There we go.
Yay.
I think next Love time us. Yurtle the Turtle has one of his pronouncements, we should call it a Mitch Bitch.
Poor Yurtle. Poor little Yurtle.
Excuse her. The way the Roosevelt administration used Pearl Harbor as an excuse to get involved in the war. It's just ridiculous.
Ken in Cleveland on your Facebook page.
Yes.
Called followers of Rand Paul, Randroids.
Randroids.
Do we have any of the hilarious Yurtle the Turtle Photoshop fun up at StephanieMiller.com?
Yes, we do. It's up in the gallery section of StephanieMiller.com in the Photoshop fun gallery.
All right. And it is all frozen magically in carbonite, so we never, never lose it.
That
Thank you,
was
Queen
a segue.
Segway. All rise.
Segway ought to be frozen in carbonite.
Yes.
Picture this. You're on the phone with a client, oh, say a mook at cocktail hour, trying to explain the latest hilarious Yurtle the Turtle Photoshop fun of Mitch McConnell.
You called me a cocktail hour last night.
I did.
Yes, you did.
I got booked on Ed at the last minute. Can you do some research on Rand Paul?
One of our listeners wrote in about libertarians. I really have no patience anymore for these selfish juvenile people. Somebody should pull these people aside and politely inform them that Ayn Rand isn't deep. She just wrote libertarian porn for stunted adolescent jerks.
Oh,
see, he will want to freeze that email in carbonite.
That's right.
Yes, pardon me. All right. Anyway, let's talk about GoToMeeting. That's how Chris and I have our meetings on the phone for Stephanie Miller Incorporated. You know, when someone can't see what you're talking about, it's frustrating. Good news, now they can just use GoToMeeting.com to hold an online meeting. It is a time saver, it's a money saver, and it is easy. Everybody just logs right on to GoToMeeting.com. Now they see your computer desktop on their computer screen. You can show them what you're talking about. GoToMeeting brought to you by Citrix is the easiest, most secure way to hold an online meeting. My listeners can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. Hello, that's a month of unlimited online meetings free. Go visit GoToMeeting.com, click on the Try It Free button, use the promo code Stephanie. Don't forget that promo code Stephanie. 19 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Wow, how did this show stay so fresh?
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Wow.
The Stephanie Miller Show, filling the huge void in Sheena Easton music and talk radio.
You really don't hear Sheena Easton much anymore.
No.
It's too bad.
The Dow is down 246 points, probably because we just played that song.
Yeah.
1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere. Let's go to carry the four divided by Diane in Niceville, Florida. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Two quick points. Somebody needs to investigate Rand Paul and see if he used any government funding for medical school or any of his college. And the other thing is, I'm against oil drilling offshore, being from Florida. But
yeah, by the way, I bet you, what kind of doctor is he, Rand
Paul? Eye doctor.
Eye doctor.
What kind?
He's an eye doctor.
Surgeon.
Uh-huh. Quick, is he making it better or worse already? Better or worse for the Republican Party? That's right, worse.
And the other thing is, each state should have a damage deposit from oil companies before they drill.
Good idea.
Yeah, there you go. Good idea. What was I going to say? I was going to say he's probably one of those crazy doctors like Tom Coburn who, like, sterilized a woman without her consent. Jim, you know he believes in – he's that kind of libertarian that wants the government out of your life, except he believes that a woman should not have a right to choose,
right,
even in cases of rape, incest, or health of the mother.
Then you want the government all up in your business.
Yeah, way up in your business, literally. Okay. Hank in Jacksonville, Florida, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Welcome. I'd just like to say Jose did have a point. But, Jim, the fire department is not private property. It doesn't fall under private property rights. It's public property. And therein lies a very huge difference.
Yeah.
So they can't just let your burning house burn down. It's your tax dollars.
No, they would love to have the fire department be a private enterprise.
That's the point.
That's what we're talking about. Libertarians don't want the government to do anything.
Right.
Yes. Okay. Tom in Long Beach. You're on the set.
Hey, guys. How you doing? I just wanted to rebut the guy who was talking about being concerned of giving his money to racist businesses. That kind of misses the whole point. The point of the Civil Rights Act was that you could no longer be a racist business. In other words, there was no longer any such thing as a racist business.
Yes, that was an interesting spin by our caller, Tom, wasn't it? That's the way to combat racism is by destroying the Civil Rights Act.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that, you know, you somehow, I think that's pretty well said. I just finally wanted to say that I wanted to quote Triumph the Insult comic dog, who said that libertarians are Republicans who like porn.
Yes, and pot. Yes.
Yes. Deidre in Annapolis, Maryland, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello.
Hello. It's actually Deirdre.
Deirdre, pardon me.
That's okay. So last night when I was watching Rachel, at one point I thought she was going to say, am I being punked? Is this real? What's going on?
Yes, is Ashton Kutcher here? This is too good to be true.
I mean, I couldn't believe it. And then, of course, I turned to my husband and I said, do you believe what he's saying? He said, he makes sense. And I went, oh, my God. Well, there you go.
You're like, oh, my God, please sign these divorce papers. All right. Senator Harry Reid yesterday on financial reform getting blocked yet again.
For someone who's worked in government all these years, I've never seen a party so consistently and passionately defend special interests.
Wow. Ooh, he sounds mad, Jim.
He's furious.
He actually sounded a little lifier there.
He's cranked up.
Yeah.
I'm sorry you had to see me this way. I'm just livid.
I hope he wins re-election.
I do.
In
November. Here now is a man named Kit saying something that is completely the opposite of the truth, a Republican from Missouri.
The so-called reform bill will actually punish Main Street America, the families who suffered from and not caused the financial meltdown.
Yeah. No, that's incorrect.
You're a lying sack of crap. You're a lying sack of crap. You're a lying, scheming, stinking, nasty sack of liquid crap.
You know, have I mentioned, even though I moved to New York, I love L.A.? I love it. Love L.A.
Mm-hmm.
Now, have you heard what those bullies in Arizona are doing now? The Arizona Corporation Commissioner, the Republican Gary Pierce, threatening to encourage the state's utilities to cut off energy delivery to L.A. if the city doesn't back down.
However, there is an update to that story this morning.
Yes.
The Los Angeles Department of Water and Power is saying, hold on there, Skippy. We own a portion of those power plants, so you ain't shutting off anything.
Tee-hee. Yeah, he wrote a letter to Los Angeles Mayor Villaraigosa.
Uh-huh.
I can imagine that layer. Hey, Villaraigosa, why don't you come over here, Arizona, and we'll talk about it. You better bring your papers. Yeah.
Yeah.
I call him Viva La Raza. How funny.
29 minutes after the hour. Back with Jonathan Alter from Newsweek next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I know that
Stephanie Miller.
Sweet, innocent little flower. But if you go at her, she will take off that sweet little mask and you will see.
Been there, done that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we have.
Shush.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. You know, every once in a while, one of the fancy pundits from the TV jumps out of the TV and onto my radio show. And it's very exciting. Jonathan Alter, one of my very personal favorites from Newsweek, with his great new book, The Promise, President Obama, Year One. Good morning, Jonathan.
Good morning, Stephanie.
I watched you through the primary day, and interesting stuff, isn't it? I was on the Ed show last night, and I agree with him. Do you? That I do not think it was good news for the Republicans on Tuesday at all.
No, I didn't think it was good news for them, and I thought the congressional seat in Pennsylvania was good news for the Democrats, but there were also a lot of local oddities in that race. There were a lot of extra Democrats voting because of the big primary for the Senate, and there were local oddities in the other races, so I don't think it's a cause for rejoicing for the Democrats either. It's going to be a hard slog into November for Democrats, because in off-year elections, with very, very few exceptions in the last 75 years. I think there are only three off-year elections in 75 years where the party that controlled the White House actually gained seats. And one of them was 1998, when there was such a backlash against the impeachment of President Clinton that Democrats gained that year. But that was a real anomaly. So most of the time, it's very tough.
Mm-hmm. Well, did you happen to watch the Rand Paul interview last night on Rachel Maddow?
Rich, I read about it this morning, and I think he's going to lose in November to Jack Conway.
Yeah, crisis of epic proportions is the phrase that pops to mind.
Yeah.
I mean, this guy, wow. It's hard to even know, where to start with that apparently Mitch McConnell knew what he was talking about for once.
Yeah, apparently so. Yeah.
So let's talk about the book, because also this was obviously the Republicans trying to spin this as Obama's done. He's this was a repudiation of the president, and this book focuses just on the first year, correct? His election through the passage of health care reform.
That's right. Yeah, and so what I do not try to do in the book is what they always ask pundits to do, which is, tell you what's going to happen. I was much more interested in what did happen. And there were so many historic events that took place in such a short period of time, not just health care, but dramatic behind-the-scenes tension over the escalation in Afghanistan. The passage of the stimulus, which was one of the most consequential and least appreciated pieces of legislation in a generation. It was really five landmark pieces of legislation in one. The first African-American president, and what that meant when he was sworn in. And my book, The Promise, is the first book about the Obama presidency. And I think some of your listeners might go, well, come on, there's so many Obama books. Yeah. And it's true. There are.
Well, not with the kind of access you've had, though.
It's not just with the access, and that does make a difference. But, it's just the first book. I mean, there's been about the presidency. There's been a lot of campaign books. There's been books about his past. Those books end where mine starts. And mine starts with not long before the election, when in the Bush White House, there's an emergency meeting about the collapsing economy. And John McCain has called this meeting, and he's completely out of his depth. Obama takes over the meeting. He's already running the country, essentially, in September 2008. And then after the meeting, he says to his staff on the conference call on the way back to the hotel, I might not be president, but this other guy can't be. We can't let that happen. The country will. And then he breaks up a fist fight between Henry Paulson and Barney Frank, as Robert Gibbs told me on the record. He thought it was going to get physical.
Wow.
So from there, it's scene after scene of what happens behind the closed doors of the Oval Office, behind the closed doors of the Situation Room, the Roosevelt Room, the Cabinet Room, what he does, not just in meetings, but, what he's like on the basketball court. So I was really trying to give people a sense of who this man is, because he is the most observed and least understood person on the planet.
Absolutely. Well, and Jonathan, I think it's not partisan, that to say, as you have, that, he really inherited maybe one of the worst hands ever in terms of the two wars and the economy, correct?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, he got the worst. He was dealt the worst hand of any incoming president since Franklin Roosevelt in 1933. The problem with the comparison, though, from Obama's perspective, and he and I discussed this when I interviewed him, and for people who want to hear that interview, it's bundled with the audio book of The Promise. It's about 40 minutes long. And, you know, Roosevelt could get a lot of credit for getting us out of a depression. It's much harder to get credit for preventing a depression. But you got to remember, Stephanie, we were losing 750,000 jobs a month in January of 2009. If we had stayed on that pace by the end of last year, we would have been in another Great Depression.
Right. So, it's like the movie where, you know, somebody saves the Earth from the asteroid, and it's like, they go, well, yes, but it had hit, but it didn't. But if it had... You know,
right,
I mean,
right. And so, and he talked about it. Obama called them sort of counterfactuals, that he didn't get credit for unemployment not going to 20%. You know,
right.
It's bad enough that it's at 10%, but it could have been so much worse. So I try to explain to the reader, all right, how did they prevent a depression? Because the events were moving so fast a year ago. It was very, very hard for busy people with busy lives to keep straight what happened with the banks and the auto companies and not to mention healthcare and the rest.
And I think, you know, as I've talked about, I think he is going to be proved right on a lot of things. I mean, I think that the stimulus clearly is working. Another fascinating story you talk about in the book is Obama was literally the only one that wanted to tackle healthcare, saying if it didn't get done in year one, it wasn't going to get done. He predicted he'd drop 15 points in the poll, told Nancy Pelosi that it might affect his chances of reelection. But, I mean, to me, that's leadership. Is he really did it because he felt it was the right thing to do?
I think that's right. And, you know, those when he told me that he had told Pelosi that, you know, I said, okay, well, so why'd you do it? You know, if you were going to drop 15 points in the polls and possibly lose for reelection. And he said, if I didn't do it now, it wouldn't get done. And so what really amazed me is when I learned that everybody around him didn't want him to do it. And so Joe Biden said, look, the American people will give you a pass on health care because they know you have to deal with the economy. Rahm Emanuel told me, I begged the president not to do this, unquote. And he then prepared a secret 800-page plan as a contingency last summer and worked his tail off to get it done, compromising too much for a lot of liberals. David Axelrod thought they should do energy before health care. Christina Romer, who's the chairwoman of the Council of Economic Advisors, reminded Obama that Roosevelt waited 2 years after he had first come in to tackle Social Security because, you know, he wanted to deal with the economy first. Obama didn't think he had that luxury that if he waited 2 years, he said it wouldn't happen. So he felt on election night, in a quiet moment on election night, well, actually, to just back up a little bit on that night, Malia, his daughter, asked him, Dad, what's the first thing you're going to do, you know, after you're sworn in? This is after they knew he had won.
She meant after the puppy, right? I mean,
well, no, he said, I'm going to get you a puppy. I told you and Sasha, I'm getting you a puppy. And so, no, she said, no, Dad, what's the first thing you're going to do? And he rolls his eyes and he turns to Axelrod and he says, she's working for the middle school paper now. <You know? laughs> So he wasn't so concerned about what the first thing he was going to do was. But in a quiet moment that night, he said later, he asked himself, what's the big thing that he can do in his first year for the American people, for the average American? And he, even though he hadn't campaigned on it, he'd only said in the campaign that he'd tackle health care by the end, quote, by the end of his first 4 years. But he decided that that it was unsustainable financially for the status quo to continue, and it was just too cruel to too many people to have them choose between medical bankruptcy and paying for treatment.
Well, and, you know, like I say, no one, as the saying goes, no one's ever, you know, done well betting against Barack Obama
right.
Politically otherwise. I love the story about the Scott Brown, Martha Coakley election, that when he heard that she had made the comment about him standing outside in the cold in Fenway Park shaking hands, he grabbed Axelrod by the shirt and shouted, no, you're making that up. That can't be right. And he knew instantly that she was going to lose. And David Axelrod's a big man. I just like the visual of him being shaken like a rag doll.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I tried to give the readers as many of those sorts of scenes as I could, but you know, it's also a pretty serious look at the, with some fun moments. The Carla right. Bruni stuff is all over the world.
This
now,
is gonna,
but,
yeah.
You know, but yeah. You know, just to give people, I think the New York Times put it pretty well when they said it's got some game change elements to it, but it's really more about what happened.
Mm-hmm. Jonathan, this will sound simplistic, but you know, you've known him almost a decade. You've interviewed him maybe a half dozen times. What's he like? You know, we hear about his, I guess you call it his Zen temperament.
He's like the coolest guy in your high school class, you know. He's right. just, and that's, I think, one reason why he stayed popular, is that he does have that cool sense in more than one meaning of that word. And I have a chapter called The Un-Bubba where I compare him to Bill Clinton, and, you know, who, and in some cases, Clinton comes out ahead. Clinton is better at explaining complex ideas to the public. But in private, the people who've worked for both of them prefer Obama. He doesn't lose his temper, doesn't rip your face off. It can be scarier because even mild criticism stings all the more because he doesn't lose it. He's very good at listening and asking the different people in the room, even if they're not at the main table but are sort of the second level and are sitting along the wall, he will just pop in and ask them a question. It's kind of a Socratic dialogue. And if you don't come to play, you know, if you don't have a pretty interesting answer, or if you're stupid enough to use jargon in your answer, you might not get invited back to the next meeting. There's a lot of sort of trash talking, you know, friendly trash talking in the White House swimming pool, and just kind of giving people good-natured grief and nicknames.
Wow, significant shrinkage jokes, or what sort of swimming pool?
No, it's more like when they're playing water basketball. I own this whole court. I own this court. You know, you're not doing anything. You know,
he sounds almost, dare I say it, presidential. One can only contrast that to what the incredible Hulk-like scenes that would have been in the Oval Office had John McCain been elected.
Well, you know, it's interesting. He's a grown-up, and the amazing thing, the big surprise about Obama was everybody expected him to ace communications and struggle in executive leadership, and it was really the reverse. The silver-tongued orator had a lot of trouble explaining health care to the American people, getting them to come along, and he made a series of tactical mistakes in pursuing health care that I go through.
Do you think his lessons have been learned, John? I know we're running short on time,
yeah,
unfortunately.
Yeah, I think his lessons have been learned. But, you know, the surprise on the other end that just goes to your earlier question is that he turned out, even though he had no experience, he turned out to be a natural president, a natural executive. And the people I talked to couldn't get over this, you know, how easily he fit in the chair and how from the very beginning he had that sort of habit of command that you need in order to be an effective president. And so, you know,
he's got it naturally. He didn't need to have it embroidered on every garment of his like George Bush did.
right. Good point.
Jonathan Alter, the book is The Promise, President Obama, Year One. Always so much appreciate your time, and thanks so much.
Great talking to you, Stephanie.
You too, sir. There he goes. Jonathan Alter of Newsweek and the author of The Promise.
Yeah.
It's a pretty book, too.
Is it?
I have it sitting right here.
Oh, my God.
48 minutes after the hour. Chock full of zippy anecdotes. 48 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Welcome to the party barn. May we take your order? It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 53 minutes after the hour.
What?
What?
Was someone shouting in your room right as you were going on the air?
So we didn't realize we're doing a live radio show.
Oh, okay.
Steph's radio show. How's everything going in here? Good. It's all good. Thank you.
Apart from that last bit.
Yeah.
Apart from that part where there are people yelling on the air, everything's going great. All right. I'm just kidding. I love my New York boys.
Maybe they were just very enthusiastic about Brandon Flowers.
Yeah, the lead singer of The Killers, whose song we just played, yes.
Sure, exactly.
I knew Steph wouldn't get that reference.
What? 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. The president of Mexico, of course, is here visiting. Mm-hmm. President Obama yesterday talking about the Arizona immigration law.
I think the Arizona law has the potential of being applied in a discriminatory fashion. Now, after it was initially passed, the Arizona legislature amended it and said that this should not be carried out in a discriminatory way, but I think a fair reading of the language of the statute indicates that it gives the possibility of individuals who are deemed suspicious of being illegal immigrants from being harassed or arrested, and the judgments that are going to be made in applying this law are troublesome.
Yep.
Yeah, by the way, did you see this latest tempest in the right-wing teapot? Assistant Secretary of State Michael Posner, you know, told reporters that he had discussed Arizona's anti-immigration law in human rights talks with China. He said they brought the subject up early and often to highlight to the Chinese how issues of discrimination are debated openly in American society. A right-wing freakout ensued, with many distorting his statement to claim he'd apologized to China for the immigration law.
Wow.
So then the State Department spokesman P.J. Crowley defended Posner, noting that he had simply told the Chinese, this is how we handle human rights issues. But during the discussion, Crowley noted that he had not read the Arizona law, a statement that then many on the right attacked him for, including John McCain, who, by the way, also commented that he hadn't read it when he made his first... Oh, John McCain is just pathetic. John Dang Fence McCain. He, by the way, they have a little staff shake-up. I guess things might not be going so well in Camp McCain. Eh?
Yes, my friends, I've really screwed the pooch.
Oh, pardon me.
You snorted.
Sorry. I did indeed.
I missed the third wire. I'm clooshed.
All right. Frankly, by the way, Newt Gingrich, we were talking about... Who of this motley crew is going to run in 2012 for the Republicans? Newt Gingrich, of course, has been making noise about running. He recently claimed the UFO is at a stage where you have the most overt anti-religious bigotry in American history.
What?
Someone asked him, how do you explain all the Christian leaders who backed Obama's health care plan? He seemed off guard, and then he just called them all a bunch of socialists. Odd that in one breath he complains about anti-religious bigotry, and then the next attacks religious leaders who supported health care reform.
Socialist.
Yes, he's for religious freedom, unless you won't shut your pie hole about how maybe people ought to have health care. Then, no. Then
wow.
You can't have it. No. All right. By the by, Chris, you got a letter from Bob. He says, Chris, gotta go with Steph on this one. On the attacks on Blumenthal based on the New York Times story seem premature. The great lady got it wrong. Local reporters who know him best didn't see it the same way. I don't know if you saw this on Daily Coast. They asked local reporters who've been covering him for many years about his military record.
Yeah.
One guy from the Connecticut Mirror, who may have covered Blumenthal more often than anyone else, referred me to his quote. Every time he talked about his military record, he was quite clear that he had been in the military reservist and never came close to suggesting he was in Vietnam. A guy from the Hartford Advocate said, I never personally heard Blumenthal say he was Vietnam. I know he had been in the Marine Corps Reserve. He talked about that briefly during the interview for a profile. He never mentioned being in Nam. Another one of the Current said, I have not been covering Blumenthal for long, but I do know last month when I asked his campaign about his military service, they said very clearly he had served during the Vietnam era but did not serve in a combat arena. Another one, I checked our archive, discovered I've never quoted him saying that, neither has anyone else in our paper since it started keeping archives a decade ago. So I don't know. We'll see how this continues to play out.
Yeah,
that's it for us. Tomorrow we have Fridays with Fuglesang and also liberal columnist Ellis Hennekin, whom we love. We will see you then on the Stephanie Miller Show.